Welcome to our new show, the What Anyone Can Do podcast with Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Our new show picks up where the last show, Year of the Peer, left off, highlighting the simple truth that who you surround yourself with matters, and that if we enlist the support of others, give back to those who give to us, and pay it forward for the next generation, we can do anything. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari and I will interview a diverse group of thought leaders who will share stories and insights that will help you succeed in business and in life. How? By doing the things anyone can do, but most of us never will. Welcome back to another episode of What Anyone Can Do, the podcast. He is Leo Battari. I'm Randy Cantrell. We are your hosts here, and we're glad that you're listening, glad that you're watching. We invite you to visit the website, leobattari.com. That's leobottari.com. And today we're going to kick it off with just kind of catching up with some of the stuff that you're working on and some plans you've got, even going into the fall, Leo. So take it away.
Yeah. I mean, I think a couple of things worth noting that I'm having some fun with. Well, maybe three things. One is I am going to start, after a bit of, stalling on this, finally going to start getting active on Instagram. Interestingly enough, and part of that really had to do with not recognizing its value or its importance, but just looking at my bandwidth and thinking about, is there another platform that I can really kind of spend the kind of time and dedicate to doing that? And of course, with Mike Meyer's help, who we gave a shout out last time, who's basically runs a company called Experience Digital Marketing, and he's amazing, by the way. You know, he can be really helpful in helping us do that. And I think in part also, what prompted it was this idea of what, you know, just launched as the What Anyone Can Do Minute. And they're one series of 1 minute videos. And it's kind of amazing what you can get across in just 1 minute if you focus on doing that. So, and the idea of it, because as you know, I'm not a big fan of the, you know, three tips for this and all the magic bullet type of posts. So this isn't really designed. I would say that there is definitely a takeaway for each one. That's certainly one piece of value. But the piece of it isn't so much that, oh, go do this and it will change your life. It is go do this and give it some more thought. Think about how to incorporate it in your life. Talk to other people about it. Engage one another and learn together in a way that, I think is so important in that it helps us, you know, embed learning, as I actually talk about in one of the videos, and gives us the courage to act on that learning, you know. So my hope is that, you know, with the Instagram as an added platform, with these 1 minute videos that are going to be available on the website at leobattari.com under a new videos tab, people can go and see all of the videos as they are released there. There are three of them up right now, but they will be appearing each and every week on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So really excited about that, because I think obviously the importance of video, but also I think giving people something that they can really digest quickly and information that I think is relevant and meaningful for them.
Well, you can provoke a thought in a minute easily.
Finally, speaking of, some interesting paths crossing and all these kinds of things. So, you know, we've talked about the Ange conference a long time ago, right? Back when I met Ryan Folland and Karen Floyd and, spent time obviously with Miguel Diaz and met Raphael Gordon and all. And there was always this Norway connection that I was trying to tap into, obviously, Andre Eidskrim, who basically is, works with Karen Floyd, there's always been some interest and some pull and some thing going on there. Well, interestingly enough, on LinkedIn recently, part of it is a contact through Vistage. Part of it is through this whole group of people that I met in Portugal. So Jennifer Vessels calls me and we started talking about you know, groups and the power appears, the first book, and, you know, maybe what we could do together. And turns out she's got a conference basically for something she runs called the Executive Growth Alliance, which is really extraordinary in terms of what these peer groups do. They not only are there to help one another and help their organizations, but in many cases, they assemble groups to solve big problems, you know? So in other words, if you've got a problem at an airport, for example, it's not just the airport authority trying to deal with it all by themselves. They get all of the players involved essentially in a peer group situation. And they, I think, really practice systems thinking in a way that allows for them to do big things, realize that, you know, they could all win if they all consider all of each other's needs and understand how to go about that, as opposed to a solution being driven from one area that usually accompanies a lack of understanding completely about what else is going on, you know, anywhere else. But but sure enough, there's this conference that they're doing, and I actually already had a trip planned to Paris, where I land in the morning of the 27th, and they basically asked if I could come and join them on the afternoon of the 27th and the 28th, which I'll do a keynote, I'll sign some books, I'll participate and facilitate in some group stuff.
We're gonna be in August.
Yes, and it's going to be like so much fun, and it's almost like it's supposed to happen, right? Because how did the dates align in that way?
Yeah.
And now, you know, here I am, an hour and a half flight, you know, away, and I'm just like, of course, let's do this, you know. So it'll be great, great fun, and I think it just shows the power of not only this idea of we live in a really small world, because she knows so many of the same people I do, and yet she basically operates out of the Bay Area and in Norway. And you know, it's, I think really remarkable, but, so that's kind of, you know, it on my end. It's certainly a, you know, a bunch of stuff on my plate, which has been a lot of fun and good. Obviously I continue to do, the workshops. I've got a couple coming up in, South Carolina and Georgia later this month, and then Ottawa, Canada, working with a couple groups, there. So, but, what I think is really exciting, because you and I have talked about the fact that you're going to launch a virtual group, which I think is real exciting. And, you know, I'd love for you to tell some people about that, because I think it, you know, to have someone like you facilitating that group and getting people together, I'd love for you to describe the kind of people that you've got in your group thus far, obviously generally speaking. And I think it's a real little call to action for folks listening to the podcast, saying, hey, if you're interested in this kind of experience and taking advantage of what I think could be a really unique offering in terms of you leading one of these groups, I think that would be awesome. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. I went back a little bit of context. I just went back to my roots. My roots were small business. I started out as a high school kid working for, you know, a local retail stereo shop, and really spent the majority of my life in what I would call small business, with a very brief stint with a mega company, Mitsubishi, back in the 80s, but primarily running small business. And I don't mean mom and pop. It could include that. And then found myself over the last decade really spending more time across CEOs of bigger companies or bigger organizations. But my heart still was with the small business owner. And so talking to you, and you were a huge impetus for this. In fact, the Power Peers was the catalyst for me in reading that and seeing the power and the stories that were told of the value proposition. So I wanted to serve small business owners, and I don't define small necessarily by the size of the revenue or the headcount, more the closeness or the proximity of the owner to the work. I'm not really interested personally at this stage of my career in working with somebody who's, you know, on floor 14 and they're so far removed from the factory floor and the customers, you know, that's just not, and no offense to those people, it's just not what I really would prefer to do. And so far, the people, and I'm enrolling people right now. You can find out details by going to thepeeradvantage.com. And I'm really, the sweet spot seems to be, frankly, much larger than what I anticipated when I set out. I was thinking probably it's going to be in that $20 to $30 million range. And I'm finding it more in the $60 to $100 million range, which proves that there are really significantly sized companies where the owner, the number one person, the man or the woman, is still very tethered to the day-to-day. And I don't mean by that they're unable to delegate, but they are still so vested and they are still so close to the customer and so close to what the market wants to do. So that's the goal. The goal is to assemble probably no more than 7 people in a virtual environment using a platform much like this or Circles. That we have
got to go with Circles, I think.
Yeah, you know, to use a video conferencing platform,
right?
To make it super convenient. The biggest thing that everybody's pressed for is time, and so you know, I'm proposing to get these folks together, and as Scott Mordell says, you know, to not should people, but just to share experiences and to just help each other. You know, hopefully to put people, as we say often on the podcast, for us to be more intentional about the people that are in the room with us to help us and the people that we could help and the value that we get in helping somebody. So, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. So thepeeradvantage.com.
That's right. If you want to join Randy's circle, man, that's the deal.
Yeah, there you go.
Inquire about that and see, you know, if that's a right fit. And I'll tell you that, you know, as you know now, I've got done over 100 workshops with peer groups of all sizes. Some are CEO groups, some are small business owners, some are key executives. And, you know, it really does start with having the right people. And what I mean really by the right people and why this is so helpful is that it's not just getting the right people from a recruiting standpoint, but also having the right people with the right behaviors so that they come to expect certain things from one another that become vital to the group's success. And what's interesting is, you know, when I do these self-assessment workshops, I use the 5 factors. And we use that as a framework for not for me to assess anything, but for the group to assess itself, essentially. So, you know, and we look at, do we have all the right people in the room? And that has a lot to do with not only how are we different, you know, and how do we bring different things to the table, but also how are we the same? You know, to your point, being connected to that product, you know, in a way that is different from someone who's on top of the ivory tower, for example, you know. So they share that common understanding of having to make decisions for the organization, but yet being very personally connected to the work at the same time and what that looks like. You know, we talk about that safe and confidential environment, you know, that ability for those people to come together and really be open with one another and know that, you know, while they're not always able to do that with their employees or their investors or their board or even sometimes, you know, to have these kind of conversations at home, they can have it with people who share the common challenges that they have and I think can empathize with one another. Obviously, you know, the third factor is really about valuable interaction, about facilitating a conversation which involves you and everyone else being really prepared to, you know, talk about whatever it is you need to talk about. Fourth is that culture of accountability, which is not accountability to you, but really, in many respects, it's really accountable for yourself. You know, it's not someone holding you accountable and putting you on defense right. And doing this kind of thing. It's you. And having the kind of context where everyone understands that it's their personal responsibility to step up and be ready to play and to be there for one another. And when people are doing that, it makes all the difference. And then obviously as you as the leader, it's always looking at those other 4 factors and being a steward of those things, never taking anything for granted. And at the same time, you know, providing them all the support you need. What's interesting about it is, and I just went through that review, obviously not for you, but to just create context for kind of the audience about these 5 factors. And you can imagine when you dive into each of these 5 factors with a group, all of the stuff that comes up, right? All the things that fall into, do we have the right people or not? And all the stuff that compromises or potentially compromises a safe and confidential environment. And what's interesting is, when I go through all of the data on this, and you could break this apart and get really exhaustive about it, but you know, it occurred to me that everything really falls into three buckets in terms of the type of people you want and what people should expect of themselves. And it really comes down to show up, step up, follow up. Really, you know, when you get right down to it, right? And show up is literally show up, be there. You know, this 80% of life is just showing up. It's that and then some, because you can't create anything with a group that is going to be sticky or have any level of real, ability to grow if you're not having all the people there all the time doing what they need to do. So for people to know that they can expect that of one another. But the reason they're going to show up isn't because you're going to make them show up. The reason they're going to show up is because if you and everyone else steps up and prepares and is engaged and is truly present and brings their A game, you know, to that meeting, it's a no miss experience, right? It's like right. you are absolutely going to be there, because it is too valuable to ever miss, because you know what you gain out of that session. And I assume your sessions are going to be about 90 minutes to 2 hours, right? Isn't that what you're thinking?
Yep. A couple of hours every other week,
which is perfect. Obviously in a virtual environment. And then really the idea of follow-up is not only just to let people know, you know, when one of the, obviously the big strengths of being part of a peer group is this is not about what you talked about with Scott Modell. You're not shooting people. This isn't a consultant who's right. studied your company and handing you a report telling you about what you should do. This is much more about having real dialogue where you come to a conclusion about what you want to do. You own your solution. You own the action items you have going forward. And all you're trying to do with the group is show that you're following through on what you said you wanted to do for yourself and right. for your organization. The thing, though, is that it's more than just an accountability play or a personal responsibility play there. It's also an unbelievable learning opportunity. When I talk with groups who lack the ability to consistently follow up with one another about where they are and what they're doing and what they've talked about, the learning opportunity lost is huge, because we can all sit around in a group and give each other genius advice, right? And yet, if we follow up, we might understand or learn 2-3 months later, hey, remember that advice? Great advice. We proceeded with that plan, but here are some of the things that we ran into that none of us anticipated, you know, when we had this conversation. That's a great learning moment for everyone in terms of what did you do? How did you adjust? You know, how can we make sure that we look out for those things next time? It's extremely powerful. And I think if you're out there listening to this podcast and you're thinking about being part of Randy's group, and you can show up, step up, and follow up to make sure that you and everyone else are going to maximize the value of that 1.5 to 2 hour experience, you know, you won't believe the value you're going to get from being part of that experience. I just, as you talked about the power of peers before, that book was originally written because, after doing a lot and running brand communications basically for Vistage for a number of years, and a lot of the focus groups we had done where we asked executives, all right, what do you do to get better? What do you do to help make your organizations better? They would list everything you can imagine except being part of a peer group in an unassisted way, right? If you laid it out in a list, and they might see peer group or mastermind group or something, they'd go, oh, and then it would appear like really low, but it's not. And I'm like, how is it possible that something that is so effective and works so well is used by so few people? And that remains the case today. It is a secret weapon out there for a business owner, a key executive, a CEO, anywhere, to become part of a group like that and watch what can happen. I mean, it's remarkable.
Well, it's just, for me, it was when I read the book when it came out some years ago, it was just leveraging the benefit and the power of other people. And I'll tell a brief story on myself that involves you. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity, had an organization that wanted to meet with me. I met with their top brass and they wanted me to come in and conduct something for a day. And it was just about getting kind of the constituents all at the table and getting them to agree on a very short list of initiatives that they could all agree on. And stupid me, this is all the reason more why we should really lean on the people that we intentionally surround ourselves with. It was fall off a log easy, seemed to me, but I wasn't looking at it correctly. And so I gave him a proposal. I thought, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Right. And found out later from sources that, I mean, I came in at I was at the basement. And when you and I had the conversation, if you'll recall, you know, you told me you were looking at the work and not the result. The result that they were looking for would have been easily worth 3-4 times that. And you were completely spot on and right. Shame on me. I didn't have that conversation with you before I did the proposal, but it just speaks to the point, blind spots. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm experienced and have accomplished a few things, and you have too. But the more we grow and the more we've learned, I don't know about you, but sometimes the stupider I feel, because there's so many things now at my life, unlike when I was in my 20s and 30s, that I just kind of take for granted. This is a perfect case in point. I took for granted, okay, this isn't that big of a deal for me. This isn't going to be that hard. It's local. It's not very far away. I don't have a bunch of travel. So I was putting a completely different, looking at it through a completely wrong lens, where it would have benefited me to have had that conversation with you beforehand.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, we're always, I mean, constantly learning all the time. You know, I had this wonderful conversation with Jennifer Vessels, who, as I mentioned, is really leading the Executive Growth Alliance and doing some incredible work with a lot of companies and a lot of great leaders in Norway. And I think it's just interesting how universal this is, how you can get people in a room talking to one another and really listening for understanding, as opposed to trying to just be right and just, you know, spout your opinion off on things. And while other people are talking, you're just immediately formulating your response. You're not even paying attention. Right. So when you get people, I think, who are really committed to listening to one another and actually committed to actually solving a problem or taking or leveraging an opportunity or whatever that may happen to be, it's amazing, you know. And it's no different from, you know, we've talked about countless times with teams. You know, teams are capable of so much more than any of us as individuals. And the better we are at it, the more we're going to be able to accomplish. So whether it's a team, whether it's a group, whether it's teams oftentimes work as groups and groups oftentimes work as teams. You know, the difference being, as we've talked about and as we defined it, at least in for our purposes in the Power of Peers, was that a team is really coming together to work for a collective goal. Could be to produce, you know, whether it's a piece of advertising or to, you know, win a national championship, whatever it be, there's a common goal that they share together that can only be accomplished together. You know, when they do that versus the group experience, which is really about how do we grow as individuals and how do we grow in a way that can help us take what we've learned back to our organizations. And you share a lot of what you know to be in common, and yet when you're from different industries, and I think this is what's going to be exciting about the people in your group, who are going to be from different industries, who are going to share practices that are commonplace in one type of business, unheard of elsewhere.
Right.
Yet they'll hear that, because if they were only going to their, you know, industry conference, all you get is this way that industry does it. You know, that's the shtick. That's the
copycat.
Yep. Yeah. All of a sudden now you talk with people and you're thinking, huh, that could work for us. That's kind of cool, you know, and again, when you're around a group where you don't just hear an idea and then you're now going to bring it back and you're unlikely to probably try it, by being part of a group where you can ruminate on that and talk about it and kick it around and understand it better, it can actually give you the kind of level of understanding and the ability to actually apply it effectively in your organization. And I think this is where, you know, these groups are incredibly powerful, you know, and really, you know, shout out to everybody who's running peer groups out there, whether it's NewVistage, YPO, EO, TAB. People have started True North groups, mastermind groups, the work Simon Alexander Ong is doing, the work Miguel Diaz and Dan Hoffman are doing with entrepreneurs, with Brian McMahon, by the way. You know, at, I'm just giving a shout out to a whole bunch of people who I think are doing amazing things, you know, at Expert Dojo, you know, out of LA. I mean, there's some remarkable work out there. So there's no lack of opportunity for people, whether it's a virtual group, whether it's an in-person group or whatever. Find, you know, the type of people you can surround yourself that will help take you and your organization, you know, to the next level. And that's kind of where it's all about. And that's what I love about, you know, getting back to the virtual group, your point of trying to put together. You've got a very specific idea of the kinds of people that you want to help, yet there's a lot of people that fit into that category. And because of it, you're going to have, I think, some really awesome, you know, diversity, and at the same time, these shared challenges and these shared opportunities that they will have that I think are going to drive, it's going to drive real value. It'd be great.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And I've told folks that I'm going to have you be part of it initially to help us make sure that we get the framework right. You know, because I've learned from you and from reading the book and all of our time spent together through the last few years, the importance of that group culture and to get things established the way that you need them. You know, you and I have talked about bands or orchestra performance and the anxiousness that we have in looking forward to the date, the concert date. And some of the challenges that are presented with CEOs, business leaders, even people that do participate in groups, and sometimes, unfortunately, not looking as forward to the meeting. And there goes number one, showing up. You know, I mean, it's out the door immediately because they just don't, for whatever reason, don't put enough value. So I'm really working hard on the front end of this thing. You know, I want to be the band that's got the date set and you've got it marked on your calendar. You can't wait for that time to arrive. And I think that's on me as the person trying to be, according to the book, the smart guide.
Well, when you talk about the culture piece of it, I'll tell you, one of the biggest aha moments for me, and this is what I always laugh about these things, because most aha moments tend to be like really obvious. Like you kick yourself for how come I didn't figure that out like 6 months or a year ago, you know, or more. And that is when the assessment workshop that I do was first developed, the idea was you would take an existing group, you would have them kind of share their experiences against each of the five factors, look at where they are compared to what might be ideal, do a bit of a gap analysis there, paint a picture of what they really want to be, and develop some action items around what it's going to take to get there, right? Pretty simple, but people aren't usually having the conversation about how do we make our group better and have a framework around it, be able to do it. But the real value and where this started was someone asked me one day, hi, I have a group starting. It's their very first meeting. How do you think your workshop would work there? And I'm like, huh. And then it didn't take long, obviously, it was about, you know, a few seconds as I'm thinking about this. I'm like, this could work really well, actually, you know, because now instead of an assessment exercise, it's an aspirational exercise, right?
Right.
So now you get people to be thinking about, what is it that makes groups really, really great? And what can we do right out of the gate to make sure that we're built, have the kind of foundation, and we're thinking about all these things in just the right way. And that way we can paint a picture of what this group wants to look like a year from now. What do you all want? They all realize their stake in it. They all realize that as they're talking, they are setting expectations for one another. They're setting expectations for the leader of that group to say, all right, the kind of people who are going to enjoy the privilege of being part of our, you know, group here, they have to chin the bar, you know, in a certain, in terms of they have to meet the same expectations we have of one another. We're going to expect of them, and vice versa. And we're all going to help each other be really, really successful. And so this notion that these workshops are a thing to do right out of the gate so that everyone looks one another in the eye and says, yeah, I'm going to be here every month. Yes, I'm going to be prepared. Yes, we're going to follow up. And it, and again, you could put it in three buckets of show up, step up, follow up. Right. And it really, I think, holds true. And it probably gets you about 90% of the way there in terms of, like, if every group, you know, listening today just thought about those three things and changed that for their very next meeting, they would start to see a big difference. One of the things that had come up as we talked a little bit about is oftentimes people go to these groups, it's on their calendar, they go, oh yeah, okay, it's tomorrow, whatever, and then they show up, they do that part, but all of a sudden they don't step up very well, because most of those people will tell you, this is the least prepared I show up to any meeting on my calendar. Which, if you've got everybody doing that, now all of a sudden think about how, what a disadvantage you're at.
Lackluster.
And yet, when I've met with groups and a lot of the people around the room will sheepishly kind of cop to the fact that, yeah, that's me too. But they might point out someone in the group, could be anyone, and they'll say, hey, you're always prepared. And so A, it's obvious that that person's prepared and everybody knows it. And B, I've never heard anyone respond to the question of how long does it take you to prepare? 15 minutes. It's the longest I've ever heard anyone say. So how hard is this, right? For 15 minutes prep time, if every single person does that, think about the, you know, however many people in the group, 6, 8, 10x value that you get by people actually just showing up ready to play, you know? Most of us, when we on the golf course, if we don't hit some balls, you know, we jump out on the first tee. That drive isn't always great. You know, it doesn't always, it takes us a few holes to get warmed up before we even get going. Well, you know, you've only got so much time in that meeting. I don't know why you need to have, you know, 2 hours of warm up, you know, in order to kind of get ready to play. And so I think, you know, if people think about it in that way and really recognize how much they matter to everyone in that room. Goes a little bit back to Angela Meyer's work, right? Once you embrace how much you matter, then you realize the more prepared I am, the more I can matter, and the more that everyone else does that for me, the greater we're all going to benefit from it. So
well, it's that go-giver thing, you know, it's the benefit that you get and just being there to serve other people.
Oh yeah,
you know, you've told the story about, you know, the CEO in a meeting that had no idea the impact his absence was having on the group.
Absolutely. Yeah, they don't always. I mean, the CEO knows that they have a big impact at their company, but when it comes to a meeting with other CEOs, they're like, if I miss it, I miss it. If I don't, I don't. I'm the one who loses and all. And yet, you know, obviously, if you ask the other members, as we did that day that you talk about, hey, what's lost from the conversation when this CEO doesn't show? And they start telling that CEO what's missing. It was a real eye opener for that person. It's like, wow. So yeah, it matters a lot. So you got to show up, step up, follow up, and you know, you do those things. And if people expect that from one another, and do that in your group or no matter what group you're participating in, you can make all the difference in the world. You're not there, you know, to get, you know, to just sit around because we need new friends or we need, you know, I mean, we're trying to be purposeful about why, why we're sitting in that group session. And you want to be able to talk at the end of every meeting for that matter, but certainly every quarter, every half year and every year and think to myself, man, I am going to re-up next year because look at the incremental value that I was able to realize as a result of being part of this group that helped me do things personally and for my organization that I never thought possible. So,
and that's the theme of the whole podcast. And that's the theme of the book, What Anyone Can Do. It's just be purposeful and intentional. And most people aren't. They could be, but they just aren't.
There you go.
Good conversation.
Yeah. So with that, you know, I'm going to give, you know, you're always good about, you know, promoting the book. So I'm going to make one more, you know, appeal. Just say that if you're interested in Randy's group, thepeeradvantage.com, and, you know, learn more about that, become part of this. I think, you know, you get to be kind of a founding member, if you will, of Randy's circle. And, you know,
that's right.
That's a great opportunity there. So anyway,
thank you.
All right. Well, you and hope everyone has a great day.
To learn more about our show and what we do, to submit questions to us, and to subscribe to What Anyone Can Do podcast, please visit our website, whatanyonecando.com. What Anyone Can Do podcast is hosted by Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod is Vibe Ace, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks for watching or listening. We hope you'll share the podcast.